You guys are almost there. Getting close. Our second reading comes from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. Let us listen for the word of God. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us to hear what you want us to hear, so that we might do what you want us to do and be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are times in life when you expect to get a thank you card, right? You give someone a wedding gift, you expect to get a thank you card. This is the worst part of getting married or having a baby, is all the thank you cards you have to write, right? But there are times in life when you just expect it. But sometimes a thank you card comes out of the blue. Total surprise. Maybe you've done something for someone that you didn't even realize how meaningful it was, and they wrote you a thank you. And maybe in an instance like that, you have at one point had the impulse to write a thank you card back for the nice thank you card that you had received. Thank you for a thank you. Maybe some of you have done it. You know who you are. Maybe someone here has received such a note, a thank you for a thank you. This is our strange dance of gratitude in our culture today. It points to one of the two ways that we have corrupted what gratitude really is. This kind of corruption of gratitude is like a debt gratitude, right? Where we have an economic cycle of benefactor and beneficiary, and one person gives and the other feels suddenly indebted. So the gift is given, and along with it, a debt that needs to be repaid. A debt of gratitude, sure, easy to repay. A simple note is all it takes, but it is a debt nonetheless. There's a cycle here, an economy, an exchange going on. And this is why sometimes thank you cards don't surprise us. This is why sometimes we expect them, why they are required sometimes. You have to write a thank you. But in such cases, gratitude becomes a way of paying a debt. Gratitude is settling scores. It's making things even. It's creating fairness or balance in this economy. This gratitude, so-called, is expected. It's required. It seems to kind of take the real significance out of gratitude if it's required of us. That's not the kind of gratitude we're talking about today. There's another way that we have corrupted the meaning of gratitude in our society, and that is what we might call prosperity gratitude. This is gratitude for material things or current realities. Sometimes we might call these blessings. They're good things, but they're highly circumstantial, right? We might be thankful for a new house. We might be thankful for a new car. We might be thankful that our football team finally got a new coach. These are our present realities or things that we might be thankful for until the newness fades. Some things we're thankful for because they're useful as long as they are useful. We're thankful for the generator, but only when the power goes out. We're thankful for car insurance, but only when we get in an accident. Not all the other months we're paying premiums. We're getting closer with this kind of gratitude to a real sense of gratitude. These are real things in our lives that prompt in us a feeling of gratitude. They're often good things in our lives, like family. We're thankful for family until we sit around that Thanksgiving table and someone brings up politics and then there goes the dinner, right? But it is a real emotion. It is a real response. It is a real thing, this kind of gratitude. But because of that, it's more dangerous than the economic one. It's more dangerous than that cycle of benefactor and beneficiary, because it's more likely to prevent us from really understanding what gratitude is. It's more likely to keep us, to fool us into thinking that we do have a good handle on what gratitude is, because I'm thankful for all of these wonderful things in my life, as long as they're there. But when circumstances change, gratitude fluctuates. And gratitude of this sort then actually amplifies our dissatisfactions in life. It makes us more aware when the good things go away or of the good things that are still just out of reach that we haven't quite gotten hold of yet. And so this gratitude and suddenly dissatisfaction can go hand in hand. Several years ago, I was driving up an overpass, and I couldn't see over the top of that hill. And as I reached the top of the overpass, I saw in front of me a car that I had been behind for some time, had just been in a bad accident. It had been broadsided, and there it was on the side of the road. And had it not been for the crest of that hill, I would have actually seen the accident happen. It had just happened before I came over that hill. After I had driven by, my initial reaction was to say, "Thank God, that could have been me. It could have been me. If it hadn't been for the luck of being behind that car instead of in the position of that car, it could have been me." And the more I thought about it, I thought, wait a minute. Thank God? Thank God that I wasn't in that accident? Did God put somebody else in that accident so that I would be spared? That can't possibly be right. Because this moment for me that is a moment of great relief is for someone else perhaps a moment of great tragedy, or at least of personal injury and financial hardship. This suggests the highly circumstantial nature of this sort of gratitude. It's a natural thing to be grateful in that situation that I am not in an accident. It's a natural thing to be grateful for the good things that we have in life, things that may not be here tomorrow. We know that. But in the meantime, we're thankful for them, and that's fine. That's good, but that's not real gratitude. Prosperity gratitude feels real when we're prosperous. When things don't go our way, it becomes a flimsy and false kind of gratitude. Now, there are those who will see through these corruptions of gratitude. They will say, I don't owe anybody anything. And everything that I have, I've worked for. I've earned it. So they don't need gratitude at all. Don't need to bother with it. But can that possibly be true? Can it possibly be true that everything we have earned? We have worked for, is gratitude just a waste of our time? The Enlightenment philosopher René Descartes, he was surrounded by religious skeptics. It was at a time when reason was God. And what didn't hold up to the light of reason didn't hold up at all. And so René Descartes decided to play with to play by the philosopher's own game. He said, all right, I'll be a skeptic just like you. I look out at the world around me and it looks real enough to me. But then again, sometimes I dream. And my dreams seem real enough. And then I wake up and I realize it was all a dream. So I guess I can't trust my senses. I can't trust what I see and what I think is the world around me. And so what Descartes does is he whittles away all of the things that we might think that we're sure of, and he shows how we can't actually be sure of any of these things. And he goes all the way back, and he comes to a point where he says, I think, therefore I am. You've heard that before. I think, therefore I am. That is the one incontrovertible fact that he can be sure of, and that is his own existence. Maybe everything else out here is make-believe, but I can be sure that I exist because I'm the one doing all of this thinking. And then he takes that kernel that is at the very bottom of this exercise of skepticism, he takes that kernel of certitude, and he rebuilds, all the way up to the point of attempting to prove philosophically the very existence of God. Our thinking about gratitude can work in very much the same way. As an answer to the gratitude skeptics among us, the gratitude skeptic inside each of us can whittle away all of the possible reasons to be grateful. We can explain the things that we have or our circumstances based on things that don't require any gratitude at all, whether it's our career, our work, or our family, or our schooling, whatever it may be. We can go all the way back, but there is a border we cannot cross. There's a brick wall meeting us at the end of this process. That is our life. We are alive. To paraphrase Descartes, we can say, I am. Therefore, I am grateful. Elie Wiesel was a Holocaust survivor, an author, a political activist. He received the Nobel Peace Prize. And not long ago, he was being interviewed by Oprah Winfrey on her talk show, and that was still on the air. And she said to him, there may be no better person than you to speak about living with gratitude. Despite all the tragedy you've witnessed, do you still have a place inside you for gratefulness? And Wiesel says, absolutely. Right after the war, I went around telling people, thank you just for living, for being human. And to this day, the words that come most frequently from my lips are, thank you. He went on to say, for me, every hour is grace. Now, grace and gratitude are from the same Latin root, which is from the same Greek root. Words are linked, grace and gratitude. And grace, as you know, is an unmerited gift. It's something we receive that we don't deserve. Life is a grace. Life is an unmerited gift that each and every one of us has received. This story from Deuteronomy is in the words of Moses, who is speaking to the people. They are just about to enter the promised land, and Moses is reminding them of everything that God has done for them up to this point, all that has brought them to this point, reminding them of the law, and now he's preparing them to enter. He's giving them instructions in how to be grateful as they enter the promised land. And in this text, there is a really beautiful ambiguity. In verse 10, it says, so now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. And it's not clear whether it means that the first of the fruit that you, O Lord, have given me, as in that God has given the fruit, or that God has given the ground. The first of the fruit of the ground that you have given me. Thank you for the fruit, or is it thank you for the ground? There are two words in Hebrew in this passage, some translated as land and some as ground. And the word for land is aretz, and it's land in a big conceptual sense, the promised land, the land that God has given us. And the other word is adama, and that might sound familiar because it is where the name Adam comes from. Adama means dirt, it means soil. Remember, Adam was formed from the dust of the earth. And when you see that word ground, it's adama. It's the ground that you can touch, that you can feel in your hand. Moses is saying you might well be able to take credit for the harvest, for the planting, for the hard work, for the sacrifice that it took to bear this fruit that you have now brought, but you have nothing to do with the dirt, the fertile soil that brings forth the fruit, the very ground upon which you stand, your livelihood, your very life. This is what God has given to us. The ground. Adama, the stuff of which we are made, the stuff of life, the basis, the foundation, the ground of our existence. And if all of life is built upon that ground, if all of life is built upon a gift, then all of life is a gift. Every hour is a grace, a gift. The things that accrue to us over the years are very often things which provoke in us a response of gratitude. And this is the right response. When things go well, it's the right response. When good things come our way, or when we have good, rich things in our lives to be thankful for. But being thankful for those things is not the primary response that real gratitude calls for. Real gratitude is rooted in the giftedness of life. It's rooted in the awareness that all of life, every hour, every breath, all of life is a gift. And it sees the good things that come our way, not primarily as blessings to be thankful for, but as means, as tools for expressing our gratitude. That these good things, these blessings, are not for me merely to enjoy. They are for me to use to express my gratitude for the gift of life, for the ground of my existence. In the same way that the harvest is not the blessing. The harvest is the way that we show thanks for the blessing of the ground. Our gratitude for that original gift, for that foundational gift, it leads us to bow before the Lord, the one who gave us the ground, and to offer the first fruits of the bounty that God has given us. Thank you notes are still okay. Still required sometimes. Don't forget that. We should still be thankful for the good things that come our way. We should still be thankful for the blessings that are ours. But we also need to recognize that real gratitude, it's more than just social custom. It's more than an emotional response to present circumstances. Real gratitude is a way of life. It's a way of life that sees all of life as a gift, and sees everything that flows from that gift as something that we offer back in thankfulness to the one who is the source of all life and to the work of the kingdom. Because the kingdom is the time when all of God's abundance will be freely enjoyed by all of God's children. And God's thankful people work toward that day, when God's abundance will be experienced by all. The medieval mystic Meister Eckhart once wrote, "If the only prayer you say in your entire life is thank you, that will suffice." Let us pray. Generous God, life giving God, thank you. Amen.